Blog Talk Radio.
The Robert Rule Show starts in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its means to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control.
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5. You're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Robert Rule Show. I am your host, Robert Rule. We, obviously, were experiencing some technical difficulties. I thought we had that fixed last week, but I guess it wasn't. I don't know how many emails I sent, how many numbers I called until I finally got the show up and running. So, I believe IT is working on that. You know, it's funny, every time we have a big guest, automatically we get shut down. And I don't know what's going on there whenever we mention big news, because we're always first with news, it seems. We will tell a story on this show, or we will have a guest on this show, and the next morning the talk shows are talking about it. So I don't know what we're doing. But obviously, we've caught someone's attention. So, we have a big guest coming up tonight. He's obviously only not going to be able to be with us a long time. Obviously, he's got a lot of things to do. So, probably about 20 minutes. Call in number 347-215-6331. For all you veterans out there, you're going to want to hear this. We have Jason Beardsley coming on the show. You may have heard him on Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. He is the special ops advisor to Concerned Veterans for America. So, going to be a great guest. We're going to talk about the VA backlogs. But I'm going to try and go over some headlines quickly. We're going to get Jason on in about 10 minutes or so. So stay tuned for that. Now, the other Jason, my co-host, Jason, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going, man?
You know, same old stuff, different day. So thanks for sticking around, Jason. I know that can be frustrating when we can't get the show up and running. I know we need to move to a different format, but for now, this is it. Unless you want to pay $100 per half hour of airtime.
Because we have that this kind of money.
This is the best we got. So, headlines this evening. New York City drills for the worst. As you know, the Pope is coming to town, the first Jesuit Pope. Jason calls him the Antichrist.
No, false prophet.
Let's make that clear. Okay.
Make it clear.
Well, what else is he? You know, Homeland Security is listening, right?
If he's not a false prophet, he's the false prophet. But I know he's coming to promote a very socialistic agenda, and that should be telling.
Well, the Pope is very liberal. Very liberal.
So is Lucifer.
Pope is now chiming in on the refugee crisis. Of course, we have outbreaks all over. Now, D.C. says they will send 10,000 here. However, our government lets in 280,000 Muslim migrants a year. And just think of how many they cannot keep track of, because, of course, they couldn't keep track of those on 9/11. They couldn't keep track of any after that, even though we had the Patriot Act and everything else. They still couldn't track them. They can't track them. Even when they're violating our constitutional rights, the NSA, they still cannot track them. 280,000 a year. How many of those people are staying behind? And that's not counting Chinese, Mexican, Guatemala, whatever, you know, wherever they're from. I know I'm a racist. Let's go ahead and get that out of the way right now.
Well, and also remember, we're going to be taking on 5 to 10,000 refugees between now and next year. From what? Syria, Greece.
Well, we actually have a map of where they're going to send everyone, and it happens to be a lot of Republican states. Republican-run states. Isn't that shocking?
Yeah.
This is from Zero Hedge. For the past several weeks, it seemed as if Germany had truly become the promised land for Mideast asylum seekers, primarily those seeking to escape the Syrian civil and global proxy war. That's true. That's a fact. Russia, the U.S., and another proxy war, now Syria. But according to various media reports, also a material number of ISIS-linked terrorists. Then it all came crashing down earlier today when Germany's beloved by all refugee, am I saying this right, Muddy, said with one decision, he shut down the border with Austria, in the process unraveling decades of customs union progress, following promptly by the Czech Republic doing the same, with Italy expected to follow suit in the hours ahead. Ironically, just as Europe is shutting its doors to Syrian refugees, the U.S. is opening its own. On Friday, Obama said the United States will admit 10,000 Syrian refugees. Now, when Obama says 10,000, times that by 10. That's the real number. You know, same with the jobs. Same with the people out of work. Same with the deficit.
Yes, they underestimate what we have to take on, and they overestimate the resources we have.
Right, and if they budget $1 million project, it'll be 10 times that amount.
Exactly.
It's not, and people think that these guys are stupid. It's not that they're stupid, it's that you're stupid. Because, and here's why. Because if you believe a damn word that comes out of their mouths, there's something wrong with you. 10,000, I'm thinking 100,000 for resettlement over the next 12 months, following criticism that America is not doing enough to Europe's migrant crisis. Heaven forbid. I mean, do we got to clean up everyone's mess? I didn't form the EU. You know, I guess a few senators perhaps would be responsible for that, since they created ISIS, gave them weapons, sent them money, allowed them to cross over into neighboring countries, all in the name of taking out Assad, who, yeah, I guess he's a bad guy. The Shiites don't like Sunni leadership, or vice versa, and that's what the whole thing is about, right?
Pretty much.
Correct.
But bringing
correct
all these
me if I'm wrong.
Hmm?
Correct
well, no,
me if I'm
I think
wrong.
You're absolutely right. So, okay, let's look at this. All right, let's put it together, right? We have the illegal issue, right? There's likely no intent to ship those people back. So we have that. Then we're taking all these refugees on. So kind of what it looks like they're doing is sort of deliberately erasing the face of what, you know, America kind of was. You know, they're completely changing the cultural landscape of America. And there are deeper reasons why. This is not born out of benevolence. I really don't. That's what they tell us. We've got to find a safe haven for these refugees. But you know it's deep down, it's got a more nefarious intent.
Does it ever not have a nefarious intent?
No. No.
I'm trying to look something up here. So tell us about the Pope, Jason. Tell us what you really think. Just remember, Homeland Security is listening.
That's okay. That's fine with me. I think that, this is not popular with, let me just say this. I find it telling and sort of daunting the number of atheists, agnostics, non-Catholics, members of the LGBT community who laud this guy. And that should raise some red flags right there. Okay, when the whole world's signing on, or nearly the whole world, or a large portion of the world signing on, or getting behind this guy, that should sort of be a red flag. Okay, and then in addition to that, he's very much a socialist. He's very much about wealth redistribution. He's very much about climate change. All the stuff that you and I have been really covering over the last year, that isn't good for America, he endorses. He's called for a world government. He's called for a world economic system. And he's even called for a one world religion, which sounds great if Christ is at the helm. He also just said, what did he say about a year ago, that, you know, the concept of God is outdated. Even atheists can go to heaven. You don't need to believe in God to go to heaven. So he's been saying a lot of things that are so contrary to biblical scripture. And the fact that the world leaders cozy up to the Pope and have cozied up to the papacy for decades, that's kind of interesting to me. So I am not one of those that think he's coming over here, just to spread goodwill amongst men. I'm sorry.
You're a conspiracy theorist.
Well, that's okay. You know, I've been called worse. I'm used to it. Yeah, I know. I'm just, you know, chomping at the bit. But here's what I think. I'm a Christian, and I believe in the spiritual realm. That may sound strange to people, but I believe that. And I think this visit, along with all the other things that are happening, the last blood moon and all the end of the Shemitah, are going to kick off a series of events that will eventually manifest in the physical world. I don't know when. I'm not a date setter. I just think it's very interesting times we're living in, and I think people should really, really be paying attention and watching.
Well, Jason,
how's that?
I think we have Jason Beardsley on the line, and I'm going to go to him in just a second. I want to give to you his bio. Like I said, he's been seen on Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. He's all over. Jason is a Special Operations Advisor for Concerned Veterans of America, for America, I'm sorry. Jason Beardsley serves as Special Operations Advisor for Concerned Veterans for America and is the co-founder and CEO of the Underground Movement, a company that designs custom graphic T-shirts inspired by well-known and forgotten American heroes. Jason is a decorated military veteran with a combined 22 years of experience in the Army and Navy and over 15 years leading Army Special Operations and Joint Special Operations Task Forces with hostile deployments to Iraq, the Horn of Africa, the West Bank, and Gaza Strip. After enlisting in the Navy in 1990, he joined the Army Special Operations Forces in 1994 and moved into Joint Special Operations in 2000. Jason has been awarded 2 Bronze Stars in sustained combat operations and was part of a select group of individuals trusted to accomplish some of the most dangerous and covert tactical missions in support of the U.S. military action and global war on terrorism. He is an expert in military intelligence, diplomatic security, foreign internal defense, unconventional warfare, and counterterrorism. He speaks regularly to audiences about his military experience with the context of foreign policy, our nation's unique history, and how each relate to our civic rights and responsibility. And that's what we're all about, Jason. I'd also like to read this Concerned Veterans for America statement on the VA IG backlog report. This just came out. Concerned Veterans for America, Pete Hagseth, made the following statement in response to the VA Inspector General report released Wednesday, which confirmed that thousands of veterans may have died waiting for their applications to be processed, while thousands of other applications were arbitrarily deleted. That's even hard to read. Wednesday's OIG report reinforces what Concerned Veterans for America has been saying for years. The VHA is desperately in need of reform. Measures such as the VA Accountability Act, along with proposals included in the CVA's bipartisan, quote, Fixing Veterans Healthcare Report, are a necessary first step to ensure that the VA is equipped to adequately respond to veterans' needs and provide timely care they deserve. The VA's failure to establish and enforce basic quality controls led to thousands of veterans having their benefits delayed and in many cases denied. Worse, due to the department's abysmal record-keeping policies, we don't even know for sure how many veterans suffered needlessly or died while waiting for care. I can't even read it. This makes me so upset, Jason. I can't hardly even read this. So I'm going to leave it up to Jason to tell us all about it. Jason, right. It's a pleasure to have you on my show.
Well, thank you, Robert Rule. That was a mouthful, and I know those intros get a little long, but you don't want to help your audience kind of boil this down and understand what is going on with the VA. So let me make it real simple for your listeners. Record systems that have been overlapped or stitched together over decades. So we're talking about the 80s, the 90s, and then post 9/11. And in 2009, they bought a new data system, big bureaucracy, big new data system, and they dumped all the records into this new data system. But there's really 3 places these are broken. 1 is on the input, 2 is on validation, and 3 is on follow-up. So at the input, it's not clear that all these records are have a good degree of veracity. In other words, some of them may represent veterans that aren't actually seeking service. They could be family members, or they could be people that walked into a VA health clinic. Number 2, after the input, the validation, where someone goes back to the record and says, let's make sure this record represents a real veteran in need. They don't do that so well. So now we've got bad input, bad validation. So, of course, that leads to terrible follow-up. But the end result is that all of a sudden you've got 307,000. That's almost 500,000 there. It's about 1 million in the pending status. And about 300,000 of them are already deceased. Now, we don't know when they died. They might have been, Vietnam deaths. They could be somewhere in the 80s or the 90s. Or they could represent veterans that are standing in line waiting for health care now. So the point is, this big bureaucracy is just too unwieldy. It's overwhelming. And the truth is, our American people know that our veterans are heroes, period. And we owe them the best. And this is not it.
Not at all. Jason, I want to start. Now, you said something about people are walking into these VA hospitals without a DD-214, correct?
Sometimes, absolutely, yes.
And these people are being put into the files and being helped or no?
Over the years, anyone that seeks care at a Veterans Administration facility, you would have an open status. And a lot of these pending care status would read something like, we need to verify if this isn't a veteran, or we need to see more financial paperwork, or, you know, if they were eligible for certain programs. So many of these people are either, you know, had not returned that paperwork or did not verify their own veteran status. So the records just got rolled into the next program, rolled into the next program, and then decades later, it all, you know, collected into this one big data pool that was built from the ground up, $50 million to build this data center. And then they did just an abysmal job of cleaning up the records and verifying which were real, which were not.
Wow. Well, the government doesn't seem to run anything, right? You don't have to comment on that. I'll make the comment for all of us.
Well, no, you know, Robert, this is a great indication. Your listeners want to know, you know, what's it going to look like if we, you know, if we roll out a sort of a national health care? What you ought to be concerned with is that when we do these programs big, when there's too many, you know, cooks in the kitchen, so to speak, we get these unwieldy systems that are very difficult to keep up with. And the point is, Robert, we don't want to wait. The Inspector General, Deputy Inspector General, who did this report, did a fantastic job. Linda Halliday put the report particulars together. So she helped us identify what was wrong. And then the fix, Robert, looks like a 3- and 4-year fix with millions and millions of dollars a program. What we're saying at Concerned Veterans for America is we don't want to wait for that. So our alternate fix is while you're doing that, while you're dragging your heels and kicking the dirt a little bit, trying to fix this labyrinthine, Byzantian sort of system of red tape, we want our veterans to be able to take that money that we set them up with and promise them and shop it out to a private health care facility or the facility of their choice. The veterans, we believe, ought to have that first choice. That's our fix. Get that done, and yes, we'll fix the system at the same time, but you know, government programs, they're hard to move, very hard. So that's what we're doing at Conserve Veterans for America.
How do you, what is your plan? What can the public do to help you in this quest?
Okay, great question. I'm really glad you asked. In July, now we've worked a long time to, one, get the First Accountability Act passed in Congress, and that passed last year. And basically we were holding them accountable. We could fire managers that were doing a bad job. The second part of this bill, this accountability bill, right now is in. It's going to the Senate now, and we need your audience members to call up their senators. I think it's House Resolution 1994, if I'm correct, and we want them to weigh in and say, hey, do you support our veterans or do you support the bureaucrats? The bureaucrats on the one side, if you care about the VA and making sure they have their nice, cushy jobs and nobody gets fired, fine. But if you want to take that pressure and put it on your senator and say, look, we want to take care of our veterans. This is a shame. We're losing 22 a day to suicide, and those are the ones that are recorded. So there's probably a lot more than that. The bottom line is guys are in front of these systems for 5 and 6, 7 months waiting for help, and some of them, frankly, don't have the – these are men that are hurting, men and women that have come back from combat and bore the brunt of America's battle. So we don't want to keep them around the system for 4 and 5 months and take the chance that these are men and women who are despondent. Some of them are being medicated, and some of the medication is getting them in these OODA loops of, you know, coming in and coming, you know, going back over and over again to the facilities. The best way to correct this right now, Robert, is if we call, we get on with our senators and say, look, this House resolution, we want you to support our vets. It's as easy as picking up the phone in your district, finding out whether your senator's on board. If they are, let's thank them for it. Let's praise them. If they're not, let's put the pressure on them and say, why are you looking out for my bureaucrats instead of my vets? So that's what we can do. If you have any questions, you can go to the CVA website. That's the Concerned Veterans for America, and it's at cv4a.org. You can learn about the bill, what we put inside of it, and how we're going to help our veterans.
Wow. I can't believe that we would treat. And now I know you don't want to get into this, but, you know, like I said, I'll say it for everybody. we seem to treat in our government, when I say we, that's who I'm talking about, seem to treat illegal aliens and refugees better than we do our veterans. And that's a damn shame.
You're right about that. Our veterans have earned the American people's trust and respect and honor. And we promise them that if we hurt you, we're going to take care of it. If you got hurt in battle and in service, you come back home, we're going to take care of you. Now we've got veterans waiting in front of these doors. Sometimes the doors are closed, or maybe the facility's too far away. And I'll tell you what, Robert, the big excuse that allows them to be okay with this or to somehow justify it or rationalize it is that they're fearful that the bureaucracy will be gutted here, or someone will lose a job there. And so they're really concerned about their own padding their own accounts, making sure their own people get supported. Now, I will say this, and we want to make sure that we talk about the people that are inside the VA too. There's a lot of good staff members inside the Veterans Administration that want to help these veterans. But you got to remember, their hands are tied. You know, they can't over-trump their managers, or they can't go above and beyond their supervisors. So they're left dealing with the morass, the regulations, the red tape, you know, the loopholes. And so even though they may want to help our veterans, they see that they're in front of this monolithic sort of bureaucracy, and the best way we can help them is kicking those doors in and being noisy about helping those veterans out. That's the only way. These are American heroes, period, and here's how we take care of them. We support the vets, not the bureaucrats. And I'll tell you something else. Write this down. Hashtag Vets Lives Matter, big time. Okay, so let's make sure we put our vets first.
Amen. Jason, have you, and now, this wasn't one of the questions, but I just kind of wondered while we're on the topic, you're from Ohio, correct?
I am. I spent a lot of time in the military, so been around a little bit, but we're back in Ohio now.
Have you spoken to my congressman in the 14th District, David Joyce? I believe
Absolutely.
He serves on the...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we had some great conversations with Congressman Joyce in the beginning of this, and I'm pleased to report that in the early days he helped us become one of the members that joined the initial Veterans Accountability Act. So we've had some good responses from his office and good people in there. Right now, I don't know where he sits on this current bill, but it did pass the House, and now it's at the Senate. But in the past, we've had some good responses, and I've had good relations with that office there.
Awesome. Good to hear. I'm glad to hear it. Yeah, my daughter is in the military now. She's working on corporal right now. So
fantastic. All right. Which branch?
Army.
Fantastic.
Yep.
Thank you for her service.
Absolutely, and thank you for your service. Now, Jason, this is where I let you lead us in a different direction. I want to know all about Concerned Veterans for America. I want to know about things that you think are important to the listeners, and just off the cuff, whatever
sure.
is on your mind, I want you to talk about.
You got it. I mean, that's where I'm best. I'll tell you what, off the cuff, I'm going to start by telling you something that I know your audience members feel. This is the greatest country in the world. The American Republic was not founded accidentally. It was deliberate and purposeful. And right now, we're losing many of the liberties that made this country the greatest country in the history of mankind. So what Concerned Veterans really is a group of patriots and people who support veterans and military service members that got together and said, hey, if anyone deserves to have their voice heard in Washington, D.C., it is the men and the women who have served this country best. We started with service, and now we owe that next piece of service. And what I mean by that, Robert, is guys like me come out of the military, we get a DD-214, and we hang up our uniform. But what we're saying at Concerned Veterans for America is your service is not over. In fact, I'd almost challenge and say it just begins, because you transition from a soldier service member, airman, marine, sailor, to basically a community member, someone who is plugged into their civic community. And the best way to do that is find men and women who are next to you, allied with you, who know how to fight, know what the tools are, and know how to disrupt the apathy that has now become sort of the foundation of where our country is now. That apathy needs disruption, and we're the guys to do it. The military has the men and the women who have proven it on the battlefield. So we get together, we talk about things that are meaningful to us, national security, the policy and the stance that the United States has taken overseas right now has led us to a place where the world is unraveling. There are brush fires popping up all over the North Africa, the Middle East. You can look at Europe, you know, right now with the refugee crisis, ISIS. You know, several years ago, our president stood in front of the podium and said something that it hurt a lot of us to hear. And that was something that he wanted to lead from behind. And I didn't say this. I think Alan West did or Pete Hegseth, but they said leading from behind is actually following. And we're not a nation that follows. The United States of America is a nation that leads. In order to do that, Robert, we need to coalesce the best advocacy bloc that has ever been formed on the political landscape. And that is men and women who agreed to serve and raise their right hand at the risk of loss of life, loss of limb, loss of time and family, and say, yes, I support the Constitution of the United States of America. And if they didn't do it directly, you supported your sons and daughters, as in your case, your brothers and sisters. You know, we don't serve as individuals. We serve as family units. We serve as communities. So we're all about bringing that community back together. We want to have fun while we're doing it. It's not a ho-hum and kick your feet in the dirt and drag your chin. You know, this is a look up to the horizon. Raise those chins up because we know we can make a difference, and we've already proven that by passing legislation. That is a hard thing to do. So we encourage your audience members to come along, check out the Concerned Veterans for America, the CV, the number 4A.org website. There's a lot of different things we're doing in there, whether it's the Defend Freedom Tour, where you come out for food and music and entertainment, or town hall meetings where we get a chance to listen to the candidates. Come out, see what we're doing. Tell us what you're concerned about. But join a local Concerned Veterans for America group. Find out who's leading your efforts in your area. We've got Adam Miller up there and Jeremiah Martin and some great guys that just care deeply about America. Come on and join us.
Awesome. I love it. We just had a thing up here where handicapped veterans, disabled veterans could go and have camaraderie and fire off some rifles at the range. And you know anything about that?
Yeah, well, you know, if it's the event that they're talking about, Forever Warrior, I know it's coming up. That may not be the one you're talking about. I know the FBI hosts some shooting down in Columbus. I'm running an effort where we're going to get veterans around the state and bring them out and do some sporting play, not just veterans, but family members. Remember, we want people plugged in. But the truth is we really want to reach out and embrace our peer service members. So there's a lot of little efforts happening at the grassroots level. You want to know what it's like to be actively involved in your community? Come sniff up one of these local Concerned Veterans for America groups, and you'll find some of the most dynamic, motivated people. We're not your VFW, great organization. We're not the American Legion, another great organization. What we do is action. We look at the political battlefield, we look at the community, and we want to make a difference. So whether it's shooting, like you're talking about, caring for vets, or getting together and having coffee, or meeting at a movie theater, whatever it is, we want to have a good time. So check it out. I'd encourage your audience to do that.
Awesome. Sounds good. Would you be able – I think we can maybe fit one question in. Would you be willing to take a question from the audience?
Boy, yeah. Yeah, you bet. Throw them all at me. I'll stay with you as long as you don't cut that mic. I'm here.
All right. Caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Rob. This is Preston.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, I just wanted to call, and I wanted to thank Jason for all that he's doing for veterans. Jason, I'm Preston, and I'm actually one of the organizers for Forever a Warrior.
Fantastic.
I'm also a city council member in my hometown here. And, again, I just wanted to thank you for everything you guys are doing. It's great. I've really enjoyed my time that I've spent working with Concerned Veterans. I was also at Vets on the Hill.
Oh, wasn't that a great event, Preston? Amazing,
that
right?
That was fantastic. That was fantastic. And, Robert, in case you don't know, Vets on the Hill, we went to Washington, D.C., and we sat down with Congress members, we sat down with Senate members, and we discussed multiple different issues The one that I found most interesting was the Veterans Independent Act, Independence Act. Jason, you have an update on that?
Sure. Yeah. Well, the update is that's the bill we're talking about now that we've reshaped some verbiage, got it passed inside the House, which is really more of an accountability. The whole fix is going to come a little bit later. They're working on really drawing up how the wordage or the verbiage for the bill is. It's kind of the sausage making of D.C. So they're going to do a couple working groups and grab in some smart folks like Congresswoman Joni Ernst and a few others that are going to get on this panel and kind of figure out what this thing needs to look like before we send the next piece of legislation up. But the good news is, Preston, they've heard from us. And what Preston was talking about with the vets on the Hill is we had about upwards of 150 or more veterans, just like you and me, Preston, going out and running down the halls of Congress and Senate and making our voices heard. And we kept it simple. We kept it light. So an infantry guy like me, you know, could probably follow it, or any of us. We had a great time up there. But the point is, Preston, that's moving to the next stage. What's happened in the meantime, though, is we keep getting these reports. This OIG report came out a little bit ago, and it's shocking. And it ought to shock the American public. And so every time we get another drip, drip, drip of sort of mishandling, we're going to get loud and we're going to get vocal. And by the way, when they do the right thing, we're gonna get loud and vocal too. So Preston, I appreciate everything you've done, both as a civic, minded citizen, but also what you're doing for the veterans up there with Forever Warrior. I mean, that's an amazing concept. Once we put that warrior shield on, or so whatever you want to call it, that metaphorically, we never lose that. It's always inside of it, us, and love what you guys are doing, and we want to help out every way we can. So thank you for your effort.
Oh, it's not even just my pleasure. It's my duty. I feel like, as a peacetime vet, and I know you can relate to this, every time you on Veterans Day, you have people that come up and say thank you. And although that's fantastic, I appreciate the gratitude. It's, as a peacetime vet, I think to myself, you need to go find a combat vet, thank a combat vet. But then if they went and found that combat vet, that combat vet is going to say, listen, you need to go find somebody that has a Purple Heart. And that Purple Heart, they're going to say, man, I've got limbs. Go take somebody. Sit down and go and say, thank the guy that didn't come back. And I feel like it's my duty, because the type of character it takes to sign that blank check up to and including your own life in defense of this country and the people in it is not the type of character that's going to be the squeaky wheel that gets the grease.
Yeah, oftentimes you're right. That is oftentimes true. And, boy, you said a mouthful there, by the way. Vets like to share that honor out, but that's one of the reasons Concerned Veterans for America is here and we're loud, is so that guys that are quiet professionals that don't want to thump their chest have an organization that lets their voice get amplified in Washington, D.C. So, again, man, I got to thank you, and I'm looking forward to what we're going to do in the future. Let's just keep linking arms and finding a way to kind of elevate this thing to the next level.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, Preston, thanks.
Thank you, Preston.
Bye.
Yeah,
Robert,
I tell you,
hear that. You just hear that, and guys do that all the time. Don't thank me, thank that guy over there. You know, sort of like the buck stops over there. And at the end of that, Robert, it's guys that are actually buried in Arlington Cemetery, guys that are buried in your local neighborhoods, men and women that never made it back, young women who served in combat, or men who have put all on the line. So we really ought to keep sharing that thanks and that honor out. And that's our duty. So we're used to that, so we just keep plugging away. A uniform may be in the closet, but you got to get out and pound the pavement if you believe in this country.
Yeah, what's funny, too, is every time I do this show, I got so many people that agree with me that they rarely call in. I get more calls from the opposition than I do from people in our own camp. And
is that right?
And this was such short notice that we're going to have you on the show. So I shared it with everyone. And I include a lot of my veteran friends in here, and they were like, Well, I don't want to call in. I don't want to ask any questions. They're too
well. Let's
modest.
Let's get someone out there. Let's get someone who doesn't agree. Let's duke it out. I mean, I'll go because you know what? Not everything's perfect. There's plenty of people that are going to poke holes here or there. But at the end of that, man, have some solutions and join us, and we'll fix this thing together. We're not out here to say this is a picture perfect and everything's exactly the way it's supposed to be. It's a long fight. But we're in it, and nobody ever guaranteed you an easy fight. I give you that right there. If it was easy, it's probably not worth, your effort. And this one's not easy, and it's absolutely worth the ounce of energy and the last breath that you've got. As an American, if you believe in this republic, these are our heroes. Let's make sure they're taken care of.
Well, we also have a good friend of mine that comes on this show often. His name is Anthony Millay. I don't know if you've ever heard of him.
Don't know him.
But,
nope.
Okay. Well, he's out of New York. He is trained in counterterrorism and all that stuff, too. He's an older vet, though. And oftentimes
okay.
we get him on this show, and I would love for him to have heard you and met you tonight. That would have been great. And I would like sometime in the future, because there were some things that Concerned Veterans for America hadn't done a press release on yet. And there are questions that I have for a later date, but we're not going to discuss that
okay.
tonight.
You let me
but,
know, and I'm on the other end of the phone. I'm here.
Oh, I would definitely like to have you on again. Jason, not you, Jason, my co-host, Jason.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Oh, well, first, Jason, I just want to thank you for your service to our country. You guys are the real leaders. Not the folks in Washington, at least in my eyes. I was just wondering if you were familiar with a story I read last week about some veterans being infected with HIV through the VA.
That is going to be a real heart-wrenching story if that's true, Jason. I'm going to tell you something, though, that doesn't necessarily make that any easier if it's not. We have a dental clinic somewhere down in the Dayton area or Cincinnati area. They were using some pretty sloppy practices, not changing gloves in between patients. And through that, they spread, I want to say it was hepatitis C. I'll have to go back and research. Ended up infecting a number of veterans that were seeking care. And that's just one story out of one area. You know, we've got overrun, over-bloated budgets in Aurora, Colorado. We've got what they call the Candyland up in Multnomah or Multo. I can't remember where it is, Oregon, where they're basically getting guys hooked on meds. And then they're not cycling them in and out right. They haven't really tested the meds out. And so guys are doing some things that, are a burden on their spirit. So I'm not sure about the HIV story, Jason, but it would, unfortunately, not surprise me. And the truth is the only way we're going to shake the complacency out of this culture is if we take a sledgehammer against that sort of hard wall of the bureaucracy, that hard wall of defense, and get inside and force the fix. And forcing the fix, for us, looks like competition. Looks like just straight-up market competition. You get a veteran in front of you and you haven't treated him right, he's going to walk with his dollar somewhere else. If you're treating him right, you're going to get that care all day long. You're going to get that dollar all day long. But what we don't want to do, whether it's HIV, hepatitis C, guys that have died like they did in Arizona, the 42 that died on the waiting list there, or whether it's the guys getting medicated out on the West Coast. I talked to a gentleman the other day who went through that whole process. Whoever it is, those are the veterans that should come in front of these bureaucrats. And all their sloppy procedures, there's only one way to fix that stuff, and it's not to let them go inside their own house and for the next 4 years study the problem and then build another large bureaucracy on top of their own bureaucracy, see if they can fix it. We know how to fix it. Let's get those bureaucrats out of the way, get our vets in the driver's seat.
Do you see a problem? Yeah, absolutely. Do you see a problem with, how Congress and your folks in Washington, the kind of benefits and health benefits that they receive, and just the abject disparity of those of our veterans? I mean, obviously that's a problem
yeah.
in their eyes, right?
Yeah, you better believe it is. We know for sure that when a guy stands up or a woman stands up, goes to the deserts of some foreign country, some foreign shore, and takes some bullets in the back or somewhere, gets kicked in the guts overseas by our enemies, you better believe they deserve the best care possible, and it ought to beat or overmatch any senator or any congressman any day. And the fact that it doesn't, that ought to shame our republic. It ought to be a shame, a mark of shame on the Congress and the Senate. That's why it's actually an easy, I don't want to say it's an easy fight, but it's a compelling fight, and it's one that if you're not going to stand for your veterans, you better have a pretty good reason. And right now, a lot of those reasons sound like favoritism, nepotism, you know, inside deals, shenanigans that go on inside these federal government unions and such. The there's a union there that's really protective of its people. Some people are getting paid. Bottom line is, it doesn't matter to a veteran. We don't really care. We, you know, all that stuff is just noise. We want to get taken care of. And if you're going to give us some runaround or some kind of long story about why that's not happening, that doesn't make sense to us, because that didn't cut it on the battlefield. It didn't cut it in the face of our enemies. And sure isn't going to cut it to our families that have to bury us here on our home turf. No way.
Right. Excuses are like you-know-what. Excuses are like you-know-what. Everybody has one, and they all stink, right?
Yeah, you know that a veteran's not gonna listen to that at all. That's why we love getting them out to D.C. And I'll tell you what, we'll take all that prim and proper and polish, and we'll throw a little bit of 11 Bravo, a little 0300 salt down their halls and corridors, and we'll make stuff happen. Absolutely,
I love it. I love when you get fired up. That's awesome. That's what this is all about. You can speak your mind.
Yeah,
you can speak freely.
Amen, man. That's what the veterans have fought for. So, you know, when we get our conservative Veterans for America, you get all types in there. Mothers that have lost sons. Karen Vaughn, I was just listening to her the other night. Her son, Aaron Vaughn, in Field Team 6, died in Extortion 17. And she's a fired-up, passionate woman who encourages you, if you don't know what America is about, if you don't remember what the Republic is about, you can go out and drive down your roads and see it at your playgrounds where kids are playing free, and Sundays where church parking lots are full, or you know, any day of the week you can see your country. And if you love that, if you love what made this country great, man, you ought to have the energy and a little bit of vim and vigor to put a little bit of effort against this thing. And what's against it is apathy, bureaucracy, all that stuff. But we can do it. We've already proven it in the past. We've had some successful tools. We ran a bunch of training sessions. We're going to run a bunch more. We're going to have a great time next year, and we're going to encourage people to get out, plug in, find out what's happening, and how do we get our voices heard in D.C. This upcoming bill in the Senate, I'll remind your audience members, that's an easy one. You pick up the phone. Hey, there's a veterans health care bill, accountability, you know, 1994. Ask them, do you support it? Are you supporting the veterans or the bureaucracy? And let them give you the excuse. And if it is one, enough of your folks call, and these guys will lead. They fall over like dominoes. You know, they don't lead up there in D.C. They need somebody to lead them. And your audience members are the right ones. My service members and my peers are the right ones. Those guys need lead. They're a bunch of sheep up there in Washington, D.C. So let's be the lions.
Amen. Be the sheepdogs.
That's it. You know.
So, Jason, I just have another question. Now, this bill that you guys are working on in the Senate, this is just a foot in the door, right? There's more to come.
You bet. Yeah, you bet. We did a bill last year, and we knew that was a step. And this is another one. And keep in mind, once you pass these bills, you know, I don't want to throw them all under the bus too much, but, you know, they kind of earned it. These guys on Capitol Hill, they kind of sit on their hands a little. We get some really good ones that have a strong voice. Representative Jeff Miller, terrific voice. He's been carrying the water for some of these issues for a long time. But a lot of them, you know, they get caught up in the day-to-day routine. So when we pass the bills, we have to go back and monitor. We have to go back and see, are you implementing it? And what we found with the first Vets Accountability Act that was passed last year, we said we were going to get choice to the veterans. We said we were going to fire SES executives. Those are the senior-level managers in government. And neither one of those things happened. So no one was fired for over a year. I think we finally lost one or two somewhere. They shuffled others around the bureaucracy. And then in addition to that, they put $10 billion with a B, billion with a B, into what's called the Choice Card, which was supposed to give the veterans a card where they could shop their choice anywhere, they, you know, within certain limitations. Well, it turns out the limitations, well, it looks like a Byzantine, you know, edict or something. It's crafted with loopholes. It's got red tape in it. It's you know, Flight of the Arrow, you know, the distance by float and Flight of the Crow or something like that, instead of like on the road distance. And most of our veterans have been frustrated with that. I think in 30 or 40 presentations, I asked who liked their choice card. And I got one person out of those probably over 1,000 that actually got some use out of it. Bottom line is they put $10 billion into the program, and then our veterans couldn't take that and use it. And then Secretary McDonald just recently had a budget shortfall and says, let me get some of that $10 billion from that program and make up for my shortfall over here. We called his bluff on that and just raised the flag and said, hey, isn't that targeted to getting choice to our veterans? That's the kind of stuff they pull, so you got to keep an eye on them. They're crafty. And but you know what? I know some soldiers, and I know some sailors. I know some Marines, and I know some airmen, and they're crafty too. So we'll get them.
Boy, that guy had some stones, didn't he?
Yeah. These guys try to get away with quite a bit. So, you know, Pete Hegseth, the Concerned Veterans for America, have some of the smartest people, you know, on this fight. I'm not one of them. I'm just excited. But there's guys up there that are fighting for your veterans every day. So you need to know that. They're getting behind closed doors, and they're taking the brunt of this fight, and they're doing it articulately and passionately every single day, and they're getting the ball moved, and they're scaring the opposition. They're scared because, hey, man, if you can fix a government bureaucracy, guess what that means? You can fix another one. Oh, man, Katie barred the door, right? That scares them a lot. You know, bureaucrats don't want to do that. They like
the kingdom. How about we fix this one and get rid of all the other ones?
Now you're talking some crazy. You're talking some amazing stuff there. But hey, look, one step at a time. Let's take, earn our liberties back. We got to keep them because, you know, Pete loves to say this. Ronald Reagan said it. We're always one generation away from losing our liberties. If your folks don't know, if your audience don't know that that's true, they need to research that, because what that means is liberty is hard. It doesn't come easy. And by the way, the politicians aren't handing liberty out. They keep a hold of that. They got a tight rein on liberty. So you got to go in there and beat them up to get that back from them. So taking it back means liberty for the veteran means we told you we were going to give you health care. And while, like you point out, our congressmen and senators have no issues, we do. We got all the issues. You want to know an issue, whether it's HIV, hepatitis C, suicide, death while waiting for care, or just long waits like 9 months, 4 months, those are problems. I don't think any congressman or senator would deal with that for more than 2 seconds. So let's challenge them. Let's get them back on. Let's get them back on their good side. You know, support the great ones, and the ones that aren't on board, let's get them on board.
You know, I thought about this a lot. What do you think? And you're probably already working on it. About a card with your ID and all of your information, maybe a scannable card. I don't know. That you could take with you to any medical facility.
Yep. Ideas getting generated. You know, there's folks right now working on the working group side to how do we make this happen best. They tried, like I said, with this choice card program, and we learned a lot about how they like to kind of define things on paper. So that's a fantastic idea. It may not be the winning one at the end of the day, but that's what the working groups are for. Invite all the stakeholders in, invite some of the opposition, and invite the veterans in, and let's work it out. You know, if they don't like that, let's propose something else. But at the end of all that, the answer's got to be just one thing. Do we take care of our vets, or do we take care of the bureaucrats? And I'm not sure anyone's, you know, going to side on the wrong thing there. I mean, when given the choice, you better side with your veterans.
Right, that's a great slogan, too, because who wouldn't?
Yeah.
It goes across party lines. It goes across
it sure
all
does.
Party lines.
That's right.
You know,
I love it. I got a guy down in Texas, Cody McGregor, loves to say it's not an R, it's not a D, it's a V. We're talking about veterans.
Oh, nice. I love that,
yeah.
Too. If these kids today knew half of what you've been through, and, of course, You couldn't even tell them if you tried. You couldn't explain what it's like to be in the war zones that you've been in. And, of course, I know you can't talk about that. But you can't explain it. There's no way for them to understand that unless they've actually been there.
Right. You know, it's always tough to put yourself in someone else's shoes, and everybody's got a different experience. I will tell you this. I was blessed. I served with some of the best people in the world. My service was always a fulfilling blessing for me, and very intense and also very challenging. Loss of friends, places where, you know, the battlefield is very ambiguous and very challenging. Policy is challenging. But what your audience can be sure of is those of us who did this did it with a volunteerism heart. None of us were forced to do it. And I would do it again in a heartbeat because I believe in the cause and the mission. And even when leadership fails, even when the national strategy fails, even when folks at the senior level don't do the right thing, I'm not going to worry about that, Robert. I'm going to get down, Jason, Robert. I'm going to do my job every single day. And that means to me I can be sure that my work out there, my labor is valuable. I've heard a lot of vets wonder, hey, was it worth it? Was it worth it? We cut away with some losses or some political strategic losses. And a lot of folks are wondering, hey, was that all worth it? And my answer is a resounding yes. You fight because it's your duty, and you do it with integrity, and you do it with honor. You're darn right it was worth it. And when a doctor hangs up a stethoscope after 20 years of fighting cancer and we haven't solved cancer, we got to look back at that doctor and say, hey, your labor was worth it. It's no different. In fact, it's much more valuable for the veteran because they're risking their lives on that. So spread the good word, and I want to make sure our veterans know how valuable they are.
Amen. Well, eventually I will run for some kind of office, and I will have you in mind, and hopefully we'll have you on again real soon. And the one thing that I would do if I were a lawmaker or a policymaker, I would never tie your hands, brother.
Yeah, amen, amen. Thank you. We got enough of that in the rearview mirror, but future's got to look a lot different than the past, or we're going to be in this fight for a long time. And we don't need to be. We've got the talent, we got the skills, and we got the people. It's time for the United States to step back into the leadership role, cut the line loose, and let us go take care of the enemy, sheepdog it, and make sure that our civic community grows the tree of liberty. Forget about all this noise about taking those away. We want them back, and we want our vets to be honored. One of the best places to do that right now is Concerned Veterans for America. We love our country. Let's get it done.
Amen, Jason. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show this evening.
It's
been a pleasure.
Yeah, you bet. It's an honor. It's an honor. It's a real pleasure for me. Thank you for having me on, and you let me know when you need me back.
All right, brother. Take it easy. Thank you for your service.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, Jason, how about that?
Well, I like his energy. See, this is what I think. I think in order to get into politics, you have to have served. Maybe that should be a qualifying criteria.
Well, and we also need, politicians who can appreciate that type of service. When you sign that piece of paper, you're pledging your life. Your life is valuable. A lot of people don't value human life. When you sign your name, it means so much more than, hey, I'm going to get a uniform, or hey, I'm going to go travel the world. No, you're signing your life away. How prestigious is that?
I would say it's the height of prestige.
I look at my daughter. My daughter and her battle buddies. When you enter the military, you have battle buddies. And people that you become friends with, you build lifelong friendships and the camaraderie, and your brothers and now sisters, and just the way that I see them bond is unlike anything that I've seen, and it's amazing. And then they go over there to a country they've never been to. They're getting shot at. I can't even imagine. I was a day close to going in, and I didn't. And every day since, I've regretted it, because now I see what it's all about. Jason, anything to say about that interview? That was a hell of an interview.
It was a very good interview, and the guy's right. And I'm just glad that there is someone that recognizes that the VA, and, you know, my dad is a, you know, he gets a lot of his health care and services from the VA, and, you know, I've dealt with some of that through him, and, you know, there was definitely some good things, but there's definitely a lot of work to be done, and it irritates me that our veterans get trampled on, more or less, once they return from the government that sent them there. And, you know, it just, we could go on and on about it, but it's
right.
A problem. It's a big problem.
Well, it was a good interview also, because we have a lot of people from the VA that listen to the show. They probably won't be listening right now in real time, but they definitely listen during the day. A lot more of our listeners listen to this podcast during the day than they do when we air it live. We had the assistant secretary chief of SBS listen to this show not too long ago. But yeah, a lot of politicians listen to the show. A lot of good people listen to this show, and I hope they'll get out in full force and go look up Concerned Veterans for America and join the cause and call your senators and raise some hell, because that's what it's all about. Now, Preston, caller we had earlier, he serves right over here in Menorah Lake, city council. He always thanks me for talking him into running for city council, but he also kind of hounds me a little bit because now he's all alone. He's only the only conservative member of the Mineral Lake City Council, really, that I consider, because some of the other guys, they kind of call themselves conservative, but they don't really take the stance that Preston does. He actually works for the people. And don't give him any lip, because he'll let you know. But let's go back to the to the headlines, Jason.
Sounds good.
I want to kind of get a little bit comical here. I'm not a real comical guy. I don't think so. Miss America pageant last night. Did you watch it? I don't know if it was my flat screen TV, but every one of the final contestants had a flat butt.
You know I'm going to break out in a song, right?
I'm ready.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, we don't have that uploaded. But there was something interesting said last night. They were these women, and I say this with all sincerity, were all politically stupid, except for one. And here's, I think I have the clip, Miss South Carolina. Miss South Carolina remember Miss Teen South Carolina, everywhere in like the Iraq and everywhere in such as, remember that one?
I do remember
allow me to enlighten you.
Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries. So we will be able to build up our future for ourselves.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
Oh, that was rough. Jeez.
Remember that?
I do remember that, yeah.
It's not just her. It's 50% of the population, if not more, have no clue what's going on in the world. But,
well, did you see that clip I shared on Facebook where Mark Dice interviews people on the street and asks them, what they think,
Richard Nixon.
What they,
Richard Nixon's
what
running
they
for president.
Yeah. And these people, I swear to you, I'll be dead serious. Like, oh, well, I think that's a really good idea. I think we need to, you know, mix things up a little. I mean, these people really believe it. It's like, you know, we're doomed. I mean, you know, it's,
they have
I hate
they have
no.
They look at us. We're tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, racist bigots. That's what we are to them, because they get their news from BSNBC and CIANN, and they're not getting the full story. I talked to a woman from Russia just the other day. She had to tune in to CNN. And I'm sitting there and I'm scratching my head and I'm like, she said, we got to talk and she's from the Ukraine. And I said, oh, my buddy's there right now. She's like, really? That's a bad place to be. I said, no. He's sending me pictures of him singing karaoke and having a good old time. She's like, no, he's not. It's a war over there. I said, oh, you must be watching CIANN. She said, what? I said, yeah, CNN. They're not telling you the full story. So I think I just changed her whole world around. I probably shouldn't have done that. It's like that Glenn Beck show when they used to call convenience stores and they would ask them questions. And if they didn't know, they'd give them a different answer. And they'd be like, well, why are you giving them that answer? Because I don't want to change the whole time-space continuum. You know, they might get a better job and everything might change. So the good thing for South Carolina is they had a contestant last night who just blew me away. Listen to this answer. She had the best political answer out of all of them. And she should have won.
Your question will be for Amy Purdy. America loves our Second Amendment, but gun violence continues to be a tragic problem. Do you support a ban on military-style assault weapons?
I don't, but I think it's because we need to increase education. We have to go back there. If we teach people the proper way to use guns, then we will reduce the risk of having gun-related gun-related accidents. It starts with education.
Thank you so much.
Now, here's the thing about that question. We already have a ban on military weapons. You cannot sell fully automatic weapons. You cannot buy and sell fully automatic weapons. These weapons that they're scared of are semi-automatic, and they only look scary, Jason. and we're only supposed to use them for hunting. Right?
Well,
sporting and hunting.
Yeah. Well, you realize that shooting at that college today, this afternoon, is just more cannon fodder for them to attack the Second Amendment. So.
All right. We're going to go to commercial. I didn't want to go to commercial in that time frame because I wanted Jason to get into everything. And I think it went well. I think we did okay.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back.
Obamacare. Fun. Cool. YOLO. At Obamacare, we believe in saying the words affordable health care so that young people will love us and sign up like lemmings. Sure, you pay 2.5% of your income in penalties, but young people don't have to worry about that because you don't have a job. Work sucks. That's why we at Obamacare want to trade your full-time job for a part-time one. So you'll have more time for fun things, like watching millionaire celebrities tweet about how affordable we are. Obamacare. Just like guys enjoy premium leather seats, so too you'll enjoy paying triple the health care premiums out of your new part-time salary. Speaking of guys, ever been on a mandate before? At Obamacare, we're full of mandates. But don't worry, big corporations get exempt, so you don't have to. It's fun paying for things you don't even use. Yeah, you work out, stay healthy, but come on, brah. Someone's got to pay for people who smoke, drink 85-ounce sodas, and live in a Barca lounger. So enjoy your premium hikes, young people of America, because everyone loves hikes. Obamacare. If millionaire celebrities can afford us, why can't you? A message from the White House Office of Obamacare. Propaganda to get young people to love us and sign up like lemmings.
And on the ninth day, God spilled some coffee on an angry possum and God made a liberal. God said, I need someone willing to get up at the crack of noon and check their Facebook and tweet vile things, take a nap, borrow money from their parents, and stay out all night drinking Pabst ironically and snorting bath salts and wine until midnight. So God made a liberal. He said, I need a person that can take a thriving community and turn it into a debt-ridden post-apocalyptic welfare state. I need someone who thinks meat is murder, produce is raised in grocery aisles, who can't fix a flat tire or change your own oil, and who, when forced to finally get a job as a barista, makes you wait for your latte while they play Angry Birds on their iPhone and then takes his union-mandated two-hour break. So God made a liberal. God said, I need somebody dumb enough to believe in global warming and deficit spending, yet arrogant enough to look down at hard-working folk because they don't have a worthless PhD in 17th-century Belgian lesbian studies. It had to be someone that would tax and spend, sue and attack, flip and flop, legislate from the bench and pass an unread bill, a person that would take a story of American success and turn it into a lesson of injustice. So God made a liberal. It had to be someone who'd lie to themselves and others and envy the successful. Someone to whine, cry, demand, screech, and scream sexist, intolerant, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, racist, bigot. It had to be someone that at the end of the day they could go home after helping rip apart a country with divisive race and class war, and who would laugh and then sigh with mocking eyes, thinking, if I hadn't aborted all my children, they'd probably say they want to spend their life doing what Dad does. So God made a liberal.
And do you think that you can act without Congress to initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval?
You know, again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how best to approach this, whether or not we would want to get permission from the Congress. I think those are issues we would have to discuss as we decide what to do here.
Well, I'm almost breathless about that, because what I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval and they will come and tell the Congress what we might do, and we might seek congressional approval.
No, well,
I want to just say to you, that's a big dish. Wouldn't you agree? You've served in the Congress.
Yeah.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Broadcasting live from FEMA Region 5, you're listening to The Robert Rule Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Jason, it was a tough night. We had technical difficulties. We had to work through those. I hammered it out for 20 minutes. I'm sure we lost half of our listenership.
Well, yeah, and you
they probably
serious.
Figured
this has been going on for weeks.
Been going on for weeks, and they haven't fixed it. I don't understand it. I'm not going to try, but there's really not much else to do other than maybe an AM radio show, which if we get the sponsorship, I'm working on some sponsorship, and if we were to get that, I think we could do maybe an hour show, but it would only be maybe once a week. It's better than this. It's better than freaking out and my blood pressure going through the roof because I can't get on the air when I have a national guest. I'm not a Roots
fan.
Yeah,
it becomes a little cumbersome and embarrassing.
very embarrassing. I am not a rich man. And a lot of my friends will
but
tell
you.
But you
are. Intellectually, you are. That counts
well,
for something.
Yeah, that's debatable. The wise man knows he doesn't know everything. But, yeah, people will say, I'm a man of few words. Because when people text me or they message me, I maybe say one or two words. I don't have anything to say. And then they say how ironic it is that you have a radio show. Well, somebody's got to do it. I don't see people with money going out and starting radio shows and telling people what they know and telling the truth. I don't see that. Usually you got some editor behind a newspaper saying, no, you can't write that. Or you have a producer saying, no, you can't talk about that. When I call the PR people for guests, politicians that we have on, other guests, well, I say, well, hey, this just came out yesterday, this came out last week. Everybody's a week behind, and we're up to the minute. We know exactly what's going on in the world up to the minute. But we can't get the guests on to talk about it because the PR people say, well, we haven't taken a position on that yet. So then a week goes by, it's old news, and I've forgotten about it. And here they are on the major networks talking about it. So I think that maybe if we had, and again, ladies and gentlemen, this is teleprompter free. We're doing it off the cuff. That's what we like to do best. If we had some kind of AM platform, and I don't know, you know, with my political aspirations, it would be hard for me to come on air at a set time every day. And so it hasn't really become a reality yet. But I think we'd be good.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we could somehow get our act together, I think, you know, we've been at this a year. I mean, well, with me tagging along, you know, I definitely think we could sort of parlay it into something more.
Well, we'll see. Okay, so we talked about Miss America. Donald Trump, now this is a kind of a weird story. Because Donald Trump was on a Jimmy Fallon show the other night. And you know what? I downloaded it at the time, and I couldn't find it tonight in time. If you go on YouTube and you search for it, YouTube has blocked every single video that people upload, the interview with Jimmy Fallon and Donald Trump. When Donald Trump says, and I have a short clip, see, where is it? Here it is. I have a short clip.
I fully think apologizing is a great thing, but you have to be wrong if you're not wrong. Like, for instance, they wanted me. Oh, cool.
That guy cracks me up. Donald Trump. So Jimmy Fallon asked Donald Trump if he was going to apologize. And I'll play it again.
I fully think apologizing is a great thing, but you have to be wrong if you're not wrong. Like, for instance, they wanted me. Oh, cool.
Jimmy Fallon lost it. Oh, it was great. But if you go to YouTube, like I was trying to clip to edit a little bit longer, you know, you kind of got to get what's going on there. I could not find it. YouTube has taken every damn one of those off for copyright.
The YouTube. Damn you.
But they could not take the 30-second clip. It was actually about 22 seconds. They can't take that out because a little-known trick of the trade is anything under 30 seconds for educational purposes is acceptable. So we were able to find that. Now, we were going to do a show on Thursday, and so I have a couple things from Thursday, and I don't really remember why I have them. Is that weird?
Huh. that's old age, man.
Because Thursday is yesterday's news, so there's no point really in playing it today. Thursday we had issues. We couldn't even get on the show. Couldn't even do it. Wouldn't let us in. Now, I happen to be a paying member. They revoked my paying member status, and I had to re-invoke it today. Even though I've already paid. So hopefully they don't double bill me, which they probably will because they're having so many technical difficulties. Now that's neither here nor there. Yes, I'm ranting. I'm tired of Blog Talk screwing me around. I'm tired of it. I get these guests on. They're jealous. Somebody's jealous. And I'm tired of it. So, Paul Watson. Paul Watson. Do you know who Paul Watson is?
Oh, yeah. He's a British fellow.
British, yes. A reporter for a famous radio program, Infowars.com.
Yeah, he's cool.
I don't mind plugging them. They're pretty good. Pretty good. They're fantastic. I love listening to Alex Jones. Alex Jones is the funniest man I've ever heard, whether he knows it or not. Well, I think it's a toss-up between he and Michael Savage. But so Paul Joseph Watson came out with this little, I guess we'll just call it a clip. It's kind of funny. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're offended easily, you might want to tune out for about 1 minute and 49 seconds. Here it is, Jason. You'll love this.
Guess what? White middle-class social justice warriors have just invented a new way in which you're racist and didn't even know it. A new Australian study cited by the Daily Beast, Samantha Allen, says that preferring to have sex with members of your own race is, quote, a form of racism, despite the fact that the vast majority of people involved in the study said that having such a sexual preference was not racist. Allen also says that it's offensive to state on sex meetup apps that you don't want to sleep with fatties, old people, or feminists. That's right, if you don't want to fuck a land whale who makes Jabba the Hutt look skinny, you're engaging in fat shaming. If you don't want to copulate with blue rinse, armpit hair bedraggled, obnoxious swamp donkey feminists, you hate women. And if you don't want to have sex with a wrinkly geriatric who's twice your age, you're ageist. Gay men who refuse to have sex with women are rampant misogynists. Oh, and if you're a Christian who's only had one sexual partner in your entire life, then I guess you better start having a ton of interracial affairs. So by this standard, black people who only have sex with other black people are racist. Oh no, that's right, they invented another rule out of thin air which says that it's impossible for people of color to be racist. Only white people can be racist.
Reverse racism is not a thing.
And to prove it, the Daily Beast quoted some anonymous guy called Steve, who said, "I'm not trying to be racist does not mean I'm not racist." But what about white people who insist on only having sex with black people?
Hello.
What does that make then? Reverse racists? And what about the transracial community? Rachel Dolezal was born white, but she identifies as black and married an African American. I'm really confused right now.
Anyway!
Swamp donkey. Wow.
I kind of felt like he was holding back.
Oh man, that was hilarious. Yeah, I'm confused after that. Where did these people, did you know there's a movement trying to prove that the world is flat?
I've heard that, yes.
Oh, I have to find that. Hang on 1 second. Let me try to find that. We got a little bit of time. These people are trying to prove that the world is flat. Are you kidding me? Oh, see. I got to find it. And I don't even know if I'll be able to find it. Okay, Jason, I'm back. Apparently somebody didn't like me talking about that. The world is flat.
It's gone? I feel like we work in a magic store or something over on Blog Talk. It's just the strangest thing.
Yeah, happens. We mysteriously disappear from time to time. They just cut us off when they think we're going to say something crazy.
It's like I feel like when I call into Blog Talk, it's like in Poltergeist where Caroline steps into the light. It's just all this weird stuff, you know.
Caroline, don't go into the light.
Run to Blog Talk, Caroline. All the answers are in Blog Talk. Come on.
See, flat. We'll look it up. We'll Google it. Flat Earth Society. There is a flat Earth Society. There it is. The Flat Earth Society, and I'm looking for a synopsis. There's nothing to show what they stand for. There's no FAQs. But there is a Flat Earth Society. Let's look up. The modern Flat Earth hypothesis originated with the English writer Samuel Rowbotham, 1816 to 1884. Now, we talked about this show that, the church, which is why we have religious freedoms, and Jason Beardsley talked about that earlier. Look around. People are attending church. Well, back then, if you didn't believe the earth was flat, look at Galileo. Galileo was placed on house arrest for the rest of his life because he thought the earth was round. So this guy started this back in 1816, whatever. Based on his conclusions derived from the Bedford Level experiment, Rowbotham published a 16-page pamphlet, Zetetic Astronomy, which he later expanded into a 430-page book. Well, now these new drug addict dumbasses seem to think that the Earth is flat. Jason, are you going to join the Flat Earth Society?
I don't think so. You know? No.
They offer free bagels?
I feel like schizophrenic at this point. I don't know if I'm coming or going. You know, is it flat? Is it round? You know what I mean? It's just everything's crazy.
Ooh, they have a Facebook page, the Flat Earth Society.
Here's what I think it is. I think it's a government created to make people like you and I look even crazier so that we'll jump on that bandwagon.
Oh, they're having technical difficulties too. The latest post, which is from December 25th, 2014, says they're having difficulties.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. Flat Earth Society. Okay. And what do they call those, hemp brownies?
Yeah.
Peace and love, kumbaya. Some weird ducks. All right. Thousands line up to see Trump at a Texas campaign event. What do you think about this phenomena?
The Trump train? I'm not boarding it. It's all theater. It's all theater.
But people like
Mark
that.
My
people
words.
Like to be entertained.
Well, we live in that kind of society now. You know, I am astounded by how many people jump on not just the Trump train, but the Bernie Sanders train, the Ben Carson train, the Hillary Clinton train.
Who the hell would jump
and
on
you know
the
what's
socialist
so funny
train
to me?
Of Bernie Sanders?
They're all headed to the same damn cliff. Okay, so I have become a spectator at this point, not a participant. I just sit back and watch it all unfold, and it's fun.
I have a map of where the refugees will be taken. The reception and placement program affiliate sites.
Now, tell me
we have
700 Pennsylvania Avenue, or
I wish.
Please tell me that you're dropping them off at Pelosi's house and the White House and
Dearborn, Michigan, where we already know there's a big problem.
That's a Muslim capital.
Yep. Cleveland, Erie, Pennsylvania, Lancaster, Ohio, St. Louis, Missouri, Bowling Green, Kentucky, Owensboro, Kentucky. Let's see. There's a couple places in New York, but they're saying that they don't want to process them in New York because the rent is too high.
Do you realize what this is going to do to the public school systems?
Well, we can fix that, Jason. We'll just give them more money. We can fix that.
Because now you're going to have all these refugee children who don't speak English, so they're now going to have to participate in communist core and everyday math and not really speak fluent English. And take all these draconian state tests first, you know, already cash-strapped school districts.
Well, and by next year, your kids will be writing from right to left.
But that's okay, because the Fed will just print off more useless money and, I guess, ship it over to the schools. So, problem solved. It just doesn't get any more debased than this. It just doesn't.
You know, if I go to my bank and I try to take money out, and it says press 1 for Arabic, I'm going to be pissed.
Press 2 for ISIS. Press 3 for Boko Haram. Sorry.
I'm going to be pissed.
Huh?
Does that make me a racist? If I don't want terrorists coming to my country, does that make me a racist?
No, it doesn't, but, buddy, it's too late. They're already here. So it doesn't matter if you're racist or not. It just doesn't matter.
All right.
I'm sorry. I'm a little slap happy.
Yeah. You know, when you read these stories, you look at these headlines, just kind of shake your head and drink a beer and hope it all goes away. Clinton Insider tells all. So here's a preview from Larry Nichols. I'd like to get Larry Nichols on the show. I do know some people that know him. And I would love to get him on because the stuff that I heard, Jason, and I can't say it on air. Wow. Homeland Security Chairman, quote, "We don't have the system in place to properly vet refugees." And like I said, I talked about it earlier, right? Representative Michael McCaul concerned about security with the Pope's visit. The chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee has urged that facilities are not in place to properly vet refugees coming to U.S. from Syria and Iraq, and that it is a reckless, dangerous policy to accept at least 10,000 of them posed by the Obama administration. Appearing on ABC News Sunday, Chairman Mike McCaul called the situation a humanitarian crisis of epic proportions, blaming a failed foreign policy in Syria, which John McCain was in front with his terrorist buddies, saying, hey, we need to give them guns, and we need to give them money, and with the inability to remove Assad from power, and also the rise of ISIS. McCaul admitted he is worried about an influx of refugees, saying it could be assured these people could be vetted properly, I would be supportive. Problem is, the FBI testified before the committee
I've had Homeland Security officials and the intelligence community who all say to me that we don't have the systems in place on the ground in Syria to properly vet these individuals. So we're not vetting them, Jason. We're just bringing them here, giving them free food, housing, welfare. I think I posted it somewhere. The percentage, and I got to think back in my memory here, the percentage of illegal immigrants and refugees on public assistance.
90%.
Close. The numbers are pretty high. I can't remember the exact number, but they're pretty stunning.
Encouraging that, yeah, the numbers are going to rise.
You and I go to work every day. We bust our asses for peanuts. We get taxed half of our check. Then we get taxed some more at the store whenever we purchase something. Then we get taxed on every single bill we pay. And it all goes to all of these people coming here. And we don't have a pot to piss in.
Well, that's the
Am I insensitive?
No, you're sensible. You're sensible. That's what it is.
You're being reasonable.
No, you're being reasonable. And because here's the deal, man, this is not sustainable. What our government is doing with illegal immigration, or I guess what they're not doing about illegal immigration, and now these refugees, we can't sustain that. We can't sustain what we've already got. And again, which leads me to believe that this is by design. It's destruction by design under the guise of humanitarianism. Okay, well, we do have a big humanitarianism issue in America, and it's with our veterans. Okay, let's start there. But that'll never happen.
The Russian foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, said on Sunday, the goal of the United States in Syria is different than what is publicly stated. Let me put on my surprise face. He also said the coalition led by the U.S., knows the positions of ISIS in Syria and is not targeting them. Well, yeah, because we're sending them guns and money. We want them to topple Assad, and now we're fighting the Russians again. It's like Afghanistan all over again. And then what's going to happen later on? Just like Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan, ISIS is going to attack us, right? Somewhere here in the U.S., and we're going to give more of our liberties up until they have them all. And the young people out there are too busy getting effed up on drugs. What's the new drug?
Flacca.
Flacca. That's it. Did you see the video of that chick whacked out on Flacca?
Oh, yeah. I saw it. Looks like she's doing a damn chicken dance down the sidewalk.
Who in the hell would want to do that? These kids who are not being taught, it starts at home. Parents don't give a shit about them. You put them into a public school where they don't give a shit about them. And expect them not to do drugs. Somebody's making profit on these drugs, Jason, that they're giving to the kids. I don't have to say who it is. I don't have to say.
Well, can I add something to that?
Absolutely.
I mean, aside from the toll on just the human being, that's devastating enough, and it's so sad. But I think about it again. I'm going to kind of branch out a little bit here. All these people who are drug addicted, alcohol addicted, people are going to be able to cope when crap goes, you know, when America goes to the pot. Which I think it's only a matter of time when we experience a really serious economic collapse or major social terrorist disaster, environmental disaster, we're going to have a lot of people who absolutely will not be able to deal with that. See what I'm saying? I mean,
that the socialist goal is, it's not only the socialist goal, the socialists are involved in the New World Order, if you will.
Well, the New World Order is a socialistic, of socialist origin. Yeah.
Just like the song, ever since man came to this earth, man has sought to rule the world. And it is within their grasp right now. Russia is not going to go down easy. They need to destroy America in order to bring it all about. And that's what all of this is meant to do. The drugs, the piss poor education, the dumbing down of America. You have to educate your children. You've got to educate yourselves. Go ahead.
Well, and that's the intent, is to really, I think, strip as many people as they can of that sense of self-determination, that sense of pride, that sense of, and I'm not talking, you know, I'm talking of being proud that you can be self-sufficient. And they don't want that. They want people that are so broken and brought to their knees that they are dependent on the system for their very way of life. And that's what this is about. That's exactly what this is about. This is not about, you know, creating this utopia. It'll be a dystopia.
Well, Jason, thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, man. Have a good night.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you same time, same place tomorrow evening. We pulled off yet another debacle. And as always, God bless you all, and God bless America.